Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
Have your health care premiums gone up? Do you feel like you really don't know what the insurance company is going to pay for and what they're not going to pay for, even though you have a good insurance contract? And what about hospital transparency? Yeah, do you ever wonder how or why the hospital can charge what they charge without really telling you what they're billing for? Well, we're going to talk about these topics today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick. Katie Talento is my guest. She's a veteran policy advisor, healthcare reformer, epidemiologist, and a thought leader. And as the former top health advisor at the White House Domestic Policy Council, Katie has spearheaded transformative policies to protect religious liberty in healthcare and secret healthcare prices throughout the nation, and more. Let's welcome her. Maybe you'll get some of those answers that you've been wondering about all these years. Katie, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you so much, Judy. Nice to be here.
So, Katie, tell us, first of all, what was it like being on the advisory council? And you've delved into so many areas on that. How did that shape who you are today and what you have to tell us?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the greatest job in the world. I mean, it's sort of the Super Bowl for a Washington policy hack like I was. And so it was really fun to be there every day. The president was the most fearless boss I've ever had. I've worked for 5 senators as well as him. And so he was just fearless. And that always makes it super fun because then you can just focus on doing the right thing and not worry about what your critics are going to say or all the pushback you might get from political quarters or from lobbyists, because he just didn't care. He wanted to do the right thing for the American people. So I think how it really impacted me, Judy, was I came in as a traditional Republican, a conservative Republican, meaning, you know, we kind of used to have this knee-jerk defense of private sector companies. You know, we were fighting the Democrats who wanted to socialize everything and have the government run healthcare. And so we had this instinct to try to protect private industry. And so we would defend them. But over the years, they have become increasingly indefensible in how they're treating the American people, their customers, the patients at their most vulnerable times of their lives. And, you know, President Trump had this real populist sense of the little guy. And in healthcare, the little guy is so little. You know, we have no voice as patients. We're not the ones usually paying most of the bill. There's some insurance party there or you know, they're not looking out for us. They're looking out for their shareholders.
Yeah.
And so it's really changed my mind about how to handle, you know, what angle to come at this industry from, rather than defending the private sector, but defending patients.
So I've always thought that, too, that, you know, my insurance company is pretty good. And they always look after me, I think, because they pay the bill. And I see this little thing that has been deducted off of their bill that the insurance company doesn't have to pay. So that's really good. That means they are working with the hospitals. And then I get this little bill, and I'm so excited that my insurance company went to bat for me. So that's not true.
Yeah, well, that is what we're led to believe, that, you know, there's this value proposition that the insurance industry is putting out there that they can go and negotiate with hospitals and doctors and get a better price, a volume discount that you could not get on your own. But the dirty little secret is that if you were not insured and you went to a hospital or a doctor and you asked for the cash price, it's lower than the rates negotiated by insurance companies. And this has been in the secret. It's been a secret. It's been hidden from patients and other people who pay for healthcare, which frankly are mostly employers and also the taxpayers, of course. Government pays for half of all healthcare. And so it turns out that actually insurers are in league with drug manufacturers, they're in league with hospitals. So basically, they're supposed to be working for you, the buyer, but actually they're taking money from the sellers. They're taking money from hospitals and drug manufacturers, and they get a bigger piece of the pie if your pie is bigger. So their percentage that they get from you, premiums, are bigger if your health costs are higher. So they have no incentive to keep prices low, which was what they promised us. So that's why we're seeing premiums, deductibles, everything in healthcare skyrocketing over the past few decades.
So give us some statistics about people whose claims, even though this appearance is seen by the little man, why some of us have had claims denied and we've really had to fight to get the insurance company to pay them, or the insurance company just doesn't pay them at all.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing numbers come out of, like, United Healthcare denies 1/3 of all claims. The insurance industry in general denies 1/5 of all claims. This is really disturbing, but it's part of a practice where they automate this. There's this practice called auto adjudication, and it means when a claim comes into the insurance company, it's not a human being looking at that claim, seeing if it's the right numbers and it's, if it's medically necessary, and processing it for you. It's some AI bot, and they have, you know, these, they have these algorithms that basically it's some computer that processes it. And this leads to some massive amounts of fraud, overbilling, medical errors. You know, fraud has been found by the Government Accountability Office to be 1/10 of all government spending on healthcare. 1/10.
1/10.
So, yes, $1 in $10 is fraudulent. And that's so easy to do because you just have computers looking at this. So they're not exercising human judgment. And that's true with our insurance companies. It's upwards of 60% of all claims are just processed by computers. And so they put in their algorithm, you know, these are the criteria that we're going to follow, the checkboxes you have to check, and the computer checks them or doesn't. And there's no, like, sort of discretion applied. And so then you get your denial, and you have to go through the burdensome bureaucratic appeal process to get a human being engaged.
Yes, and that is really true. And sometimes you get the human being engaged and they're not quite the right person. You tell the whole story, you think you're getting it worked out, and you find out 6 months later when you get the letter, I'm sorry, you're still being denied. When it was a perfectly valid reason that they should have covered your claim.
Yeah, I think they have these little check boxes and they don't allow for the art of medicine anymore. You know, it's sort of a science, but it's mostly an art. And doctors and other healthcare providers can use discretion in what they're recommending for you. And I think, you know, I don't want to be too absolutist because insurance companies are fighting price gouging doctors and hospitals. And, you know, if you ask me who is the biggest bond villain in the healthcare swamp, I would say it's nonprofit fake charity hospitals before I'd say insurers.
Oh,
they're all pretty bad.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, insurers are tasked with fighting unbelievable, egregious price gouging, you know, markups of 1,000%, markups of 3,900%. So it's very important for insurers and the employers who are paying their insurers to process their claims. It's very important to try to put some controls in there so that doctors and hospitals don't get away with just anything. You had these cases of private equity-owned emergency physicians who were balance billing and, you know, gouging and refusing to go in-network, or anesthesiologists or radiologists who were refusing to go in-network and charging whatever they wanted. And the insurance company would pay what they thought was fair, but then the patient would get stuck with the rest because they weren't in network. So there are lots of disgusting practices out there and all these competing interests. So although we do want our insurance companies to drive a hard bargain, not at the cost of critically needed medical care.
Critically needed medical care. And that includes people without insurance, because how often, Katie, they drive up the costs as well because the insurance companies can't collect anything from them. The hospitals can't collect anything from them. So the answers for their medical needs await someone's approval somewhere, and often they're in the hospital a lot more, and that uses our money that we pay for insurance to help the hospital pay for their health care.
Well, that's what you would think, and that's certainly the sad story that charity nonprofit hospitals will whine about to policymakers. However, there are massive amounts of government streams of funding for uncompensated care for hospitals, and people who are truly low income all qualify for Medicaid, which is the safety net health care insurance coverage for the poor. 1 in 6 Americans are covered by Medicaid, which means that hospitals are in fact getting paid for those patients. And if they truly are not eligible for Medicaid, or they're not eligible for subsidies on the Affordable Care Act individual insurance market plans, where those are largely subsidized, then you have this small sliver of people who are truly uninsured. And those people, you know, listen, these hospitals are tax exempt. They're getting billions and billions of dollars in tax exemption from federal and state taxes. And the reason for that, what they're supposed to be giving back to the community, is charity care and uncompensated care. And we are seeing hospital prices that have skyrocketed way beyond the inflation rates, way beyond wages rates in this country, for no appreciable reason. And, I mean, I would argue the reason is because they can. They can get away with it because prices up till now have been secret. So I do think that there's a lot of stories that they're telling to try to get more bailouts from Congress and from their state legislators, but I don't think that those stories are actually fair.
Yeah, and in the second segment, we're going to talk about hospital transparency a little more. But Katie, do you believe that Robert Kennedy, who is now Secretary of the Health Services Department, do you think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be able to resolve these problems that are occurring like this?
Well, that's a big problem. I don't know that he'll be able to resolve it, right? Because whenever you have corporate interests, you're going to have greed and you're going to have, you know, corruption. Now, if we didn't have corporate interests and it were all just run by the government, we would have a different set of problems, right? Rationing, you know, poor quality care. So we have to pick our poison, right? So if we're going to have a free market solution, it needs to actually be free and it needs to actually be a market. And that involves having prices, it involves having competition and not just oligarchs and, you know, like two companies running everything, or one insurance company controlling an entire city's market, or one hospital system controlling an entire city's market. So we're going to need to get the Department of Justice involved. There is massive, what I would argue, antitrust collusion, price fixing, and anti-competitive behavior going on in this industry. So it's not just Secretary Kennedy. It's also, hopefully, Attorney General Bondi and the FTC, and each of them has a little piece of this, and they need to really crack down on the enforcement tools that they have.
So we're going to go to a break, Katie, but are you ready to talk about hospitals transparency? Katie is Executive Director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that too, what they offer, how they might be able to make a better difference for you and our country. Are you ready, Katie?
I'm ready.
All right. We'll be right back right after this break with more of Encounter. I'm Judy Rutherford.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. If you joined us for the first segment, Katie Talento has been my guest. She's the Executive Director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. We didn't talk about insurances and price gouging and a whole bunch of different topics. If you miss it, you can always get it on the replay at Bot Radio Network and go to the St. Louis page and choose Encounter for this last show. You'll be able to listen to it. But Katie, now let's talk about the transparency of hospital bills to divulge their pricing. That's been in the news recently. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, as we were talking on the last segment, Judy, our market system only works if there's a market. And there are a few critical elements to a functional market. You know, these are basic economics, right? You have to have prices available to purchasers of a good or service in order to have a functioning market. And in order to have prices, they can't all be fixed by the government. They have to actually be competitive, right? You can't have different sellers of goods and services colluding with each other or colluding with the government to fix those prices. They need to have real competition And in order to have real competition, be careful of third parties involved who protect the end user and the end purchaser from competition. And we have sort of problems on all these fronts in healthcare. So I do think that the very first absolute baby step, which was astronomically hard to get done, is to force hospitals and doctors to open up their secret prices and post them for the public and make them available for patients and consumers before they seek care. Because today, of course, you go into your doctor, they don't know. If you were to ask, like, oh, I need a knee replacement, and you ask your surgeon, how much is this going to cost me? They don't even know.
They don't know, right.
Right. It depends on 50 different things. There's 57 plans that are offered by your one insurer. And so they don't even know how much it will cost. They know how much they're going to charge. But then there's like an anesthesiologist, and there's some pathology that has to be done beforehand, or some imaging. Then there's some PT afterwards. So, you know, this hiding of prices has really allowed for distortions in this market that drive costs up. It also makes clinical decision-making difficult. How can a doctor tell you the benefits outweigh the risks and the cost of something if he doesn't know the cost, right? If you have the choice between watching and waiting, or which, you know, has a reasonable chance of working out, or you can get some surgery that's going to cost $50,000, if you don't know whether it's $50,000 or $10,000 or $500,000 or $500,000, that's going to weigh in into the choices you make. And I think it should. And so it's really important that we get prices.
So how soon can we expect this transparency, and how do we find out what the amounts
are? Great question. So these rules put in place by the Trump administration in the first term are already effective. So they require hospitals to disclose their negotiated rates with insurers, as well as cash pay rates, as well as Medicare, VA, all the government programs. And so they require this to be posted on a website, prominently on the hospital's website. Usually you can find it in the hospital's website in the section of the site that says for patients or patient resources or billing. It's supposed to be prominently posted, but most of them kind of hide it. But you can find it. I'm always able to find it. And then you have to go in. Sometimes these files are very difficult and they're not in a format that we can easily view. So that's another problem. So there's a resource out there called Patient Rights Advocate, patient rights plural advocate.org. And they have made all these prices available as Excel spreadsheets so that they're not some weird format that you can't get to. And so that's one really useful tool.
That's again, Patient Rights.
Patient Rights Advocate, rights plural, advocate. .org.
Patientrightsadvocate.org. Don't forget, you can go there.
Yes.
So, Katie, families are struggling anyway with so many other things. Where do they turn now for good insurance after you've told us all of this stuff?
It's a great question. I mean, insurance is extremely expensive. It's overpriced, but largely that's often because healthcare is overpriced, although the insurers are doing their own amount of gouging. I do think there are some alternatives out there. I know that one of the most important alternatives, especially for people of faith, is called healthcare sharing ministries. I work with a lot of healthcare sharing ministries, and they offer a non-insurance option. I kind of think of it as homeschooling co-op for healthcare, right? It's basically religious people coming together around a shared set of beliefs, and they develop a set of guidelines around these are the types of medical expenses that we as a community will share for each other. And so essentially every month you're going to send a certain fixed contribution to another member for their medical bills every month. And then if you have medical bills, the members will share those for you. We all have this insurance lens that we see everything through. So sometimes we get accused of being kind of like insurance, but really it's more like just a glorified pass the hat operation in a church, right? Like a special collection for Pastor so-and-so who needs a knee replacement. So this sort of basic function of the church has grown. It's gotten a little bit more sophisticated. Some of the ministries are using high-tech software, and some of them are still very old-fashioned where people are writing checks to each other every month. It can be a really good option. It's always more affordable than insurance, but of course, it may or may not be the right fit for every family. So it's important to read all the documents, ask all the questions, do your due diligence on these organizations, and really pray about it and see if it's the right fit for you.
How do you find out about these organizations, as there's more than one?
There's an Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, which is sort of a trade group for these organizations. And these are the ones that are federally recognized in the Affordable Care Act. So there are others out there, but the Alliance represents most of the biggest ministries. If you go on their website, ahcsm.org, ahcsm.org, that's for the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, you can see how to reach these ministries for their members. They have some of the biggest members, like MediShare or Samaritan Ministries, Altrua, OneShare Health, Liberty Health Share. These are good organizations. There's also an accreditation body that is working to accredit these ministries. So that's really important too. Everyone should do their due diligence, but these are really, really good fit for a lot of Christians.
So can you give us some comparisons of prices with maybe the traditional insurance company as opposed to going through one of the Alliance healthcare companies?
Yeah, so it's important that these are not apples to apples comparison. So they are both solutions for expensive healthcare bills, but they're not exactly the same and they don't work exactly the same. So a ministry is not a binding contract, right? The ministry members are morally obligated to one another, but not legally. So there are differences, but I will say that the ministry's monthly contributions tend to be about half to two-thirds of an insurance premium. But again, this is not insurance, and so it works quite differently. And so people should be sure that they read and understand how the program works. These ministries are so beautiful in so many ways. There's one ministry that every time a family experiences a miscarriage, they'll send a care package. There's another ministry where if a member passes away, the staff from the ministry will get on the plane and deliver a check to help with funeral expenses in person. You can always call in to these ministries and just get prayer, right? I mean, healthcare is so personal. It's so vulnerable. It's so life and death. It's so profound. And it's really nice to not have some like cold corporate insurance bureaucracy between you and a doctor. So it can be a really beautiful solution, but it is not insurance. And so you have to think about that when you're comparing costs or comparing anything, really, because it is kind of apples to apples.
Yeah, I was going to say, what questions should people ask as they do their research about whether they should get traditional insurance or go through one of these sharing plans?
I think one important element here is that healthcare sharing ministries typically expect people to abide by their faith in how they treat their body. And so we expect members are going to treat their bodies like temples of the Holy Spirit. And that means when it comes to making health choices, if you're making dangerous, risky, or unhealthy choices, and you develop injuries or diseases that are direct results of those unhealthy choices that are inconsistent with the faith, then those types of medical expenses may not be eligible for sharing as a result. So you really have to understand that we are committing to one another as a community of believers to steward each other's dollars in a way that is really consistent with the faith. So if you're not committed to those principles and those religious beliefs, it may not be a good fit for you. But if you are, it could be a really wonderful fit.
So the questions that you should find out as you research are,
sort of, what are the beliefs that I have to commit to? And also, what types of bills are eligible for sharing? And are those the types of bills that I feel comfortable sharing for other people? Are those the types of bills that are likely to be the types of bills I will incur? And so not every type of bill is shareable. And so it's important to take a look at that. And that's all in quite plain English language, unlike an insurance policy, on their websites. And they're usually called their sharing guidelines. So that's one thing. The next question I would ask is, of any prospective ministry that I might be thinking of joining, is, are you accredited? And also, are you a member of the Alliance? Because we at the Alliance, we have minimum standards for ministries. I would ask, are they defined by the ACA? And do they have a letter from the federal government certifying them as such? Are they a nonprofit? Do they have their IRS C3 nonprofit determination letter that they can share? The ACA requires ministries to provide audits to people who request them. And so ask for their audit, audited financial statements. These are all signs that a ministry is operating in good faith and is a reliable Christian organization that you can trust.
Katie Talento has been my guest today. She's the executive director of the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries. Katie, we shared two websites that are key from this conversation that our listeners might want to go to. Could you repeat those?
Sure thing. First, we talked about patientrightsadvocate.org, patient, singular, rights, plural, advocate.org, and that's where you can find hospital price transparency information. And then we talked about the Alliance website, which is the Alliance of Healthcare Sharing Ministries, ahcsm.org.
That's ahcsm.org. Katie, you've brought a wealth of information to Encounter today and to our listeners. I thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all for listening. Hope you'll share this show with others. I'm Judy Redlick. This has been Encounter. Tune in every week at this time for another Encounter episode. Or if you miss it, go to botradionetwork.com, St. Louis page, and Encounter. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlick's website, email her at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.